Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Verse 11 in the NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." This morning, again, we've been sent here to share a word entitled, "It's Going to Be All Right." It's going to be all right. And this morning, I'm going to share all around 3 points as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. We're going to talk about God schemed it, God said it, and God succeeded it. Yeah. I'm going to talk around 3 points. God schemed it, God said it, God succeeded it. We want Christians to know this morning that Christians should trust God in troubled times. Christians should trust God in troubled times. As I received the phone call to be here Saturday on my way to Tulsa, got a call from the moderator, and the moderator asked me to come because our dear friend was not going to be able to make it, Pastor Turner, a great man of God. Love me some Dr. Turner. And we went up to Tulsa, and we had a very lavish room there. Sister E. Tom was mad because we had to come back early. But on my way back on the turnpike, I prayed and I asked the Lord, "What is it that you want me to share with Mount Zion? What is it that you want them to know this morning?" And God dropped this text in my spirit. And God wants you to know this morning that he knows the plans that he has for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. Undoubtedly, we all admire this church, everybody in the district. Mount Zion. All right. It is the premier church. And everybody knows it. And we know your legacy of so many great men of God who have come from and through this place. And we know your present time. It's not as it's the way that you probably would like it, and but God once again sent me here to tell you this morning, probably in the same kind of time that he was telling the people of God about their prosperity. You see, most preachers, when they preach this text, they forget to tell the background of this text. Oh, God told them this word when they were in captivity. Yeah. In other words, they were going through the hardest time of their life. They were in captivity, literally some of them slaves. great nation, and you know Nebuchadnezzar, and they were captive, they were trapped, they were hemmed up, they didn't, and from human eyes and the way that they would see it, oh, you wouldn't have thought that this is what God thought of them. This was the worst time, not the best time. This was, in modern day times, this was when they were going to the divorce. This was when they were going to bankruptcy. This was when they were, when their family was falling apart. This was a horrible time in the life of the people of God. And they probably was thinking and wondering, how does God see us? And they probably thought that God saw them in a very bad way. But God sent them a word from the Lord at the lowest time, at the bottom, when they were in the bottom. And he sent this word to them. He let them know that God schemed some things for them. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Oh, the devil wants you to think that there is no hope. The devil wants you to throw in the towel. The devil wants you to give up. But God has sent me here all the way from Tulsa to let you know not to throw in the towel, to let you know to keep your head up, to let you know to tell you hope in the Lord. In Jesus' name, there is a hope for the church. There's hope for the pastor. There's hope for every situation and circumstance that you're going through right now. At this time, you may feel alone, but God wants to reach you right at your lowest point and say, oh, the devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. And Jesus' name, thank you, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, God has planned for me. In other words, God has not forgotten me. Oh, God has not forgotten. You know, and God says in his word that I'll never leave you or forsake you. Or others may leave you, others may forsake you. But God says, oh, that I'm still on the throne. And because I'm still on the throne, I've got power to make a difference in your life. I've got power to make a difference in your church. Oh, Mount Zion, oh, don't be of hope. In Jesus' name, say your name. Say, my Lord, don't be of hope. In Jesus' name, God is bigger than all of this. God has bigger plans than all of this. I'm so glad that even when I messed up, and that's why they were in captivity, they had messed up. They had turned from the things of God. And you would have thought that God would say, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. But God, oh, put them in a place where they can be heard, or they can hear him in this place of captivity, in this place of trial, in this place of horror. They can hear him. And then he said at the lowest point, I haven't forgot about you. As a matter of fact, I know the plans I have for you. Hello, somebody. Somebody out to give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. You thought it was all over. Some of you think it's all over for Mount Zion. No, it's not all over. Hello, somebody. It's only just beginning. The best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, thank you, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, God has plans for Mount Zion. God has plans for most of you. Hello, somebody. I was joking with some of the men of God here and saying that I had an hour and 30 minutes work, so I got to move on. They said, we got to beat the Baptist out. No, they did not say that. But God says, I got to see. I skewed it. I planned it. Regardless of what you've done in the past, regardless of what men of God who stood here in the past have done, I've got some plans for you. I've got some plans for you. And you can stand on it because of point number two. Oh, God said it. Hello. Because after he said, I know the plans I have for you, these words, these three awesome and mighty words, because when he says it, guess what? That settles it. I don't need to hear any of this mess and any of this noise, any of this naysaying. Don't you know that God is still on the throne, and God has plans for Mount Zion, and God has said it, he declares it. And guess what? When he declares something, it's going to succeed. Oh, for my last part, and then we can go get us some chicken. For my last part, we can be the Baptist, the Holiness, everybody else, to go get something to eat. God!
I kind of like that.
God succeeded it. For the last part of that text, and why God sent me here this morning. He says, look at here. Plans to prosper you. Hello, somebody. At their lowest point, when they were going through bankruptcy, God, that's what God does. He waits till you go through bankruptcy and tells you that he's going to prosper you. He waits till you get lower and when and to the point that you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt you. And at that point, he says, I'm going to prosper you and not harm you. Yes. Hello, somebody. And you say, but God, I'm already harmed. I'm already in captivity. Oh, things are already not going right. And you're trying to tell me that you don't plan harm for me? In other words, he just sent me here to let you know that it's not going to always be like it is now. Say that again. It's not going to always be like it is now. Hello, somebody. You're not going to always be without a pastor. You're not going to always be lonely and alone. You're not going to always be sick. You're not going to always be in bankruptcy. You're not going to always be in emotional despair and this part. You're not going to always be broken. God said, as a matter of fact, this word catches them at a low point and lets them know that God is not angry. God is not mad at you. God is not angry with you. God knows your past and what you need in your past. This is called grace, and this is called
from here. I'm going to keep it short so you can remember what God said. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because God, oh, God's only Son, oh, for the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, and I'm so glad that he was willing to come to this earth. He was willing to die for my sins and your sins. I'm so glad that when things got hard for him, that he did not give up. But after he did all kinds of miracles, he had to go into that garden of Gethsemane. And when he got to that garden of Gethsemane, he began to pray. And he asked the disciples to pray. Oh, the disciples didn't know what time it is. So Jesus had to tell them, oh, in that garden, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
You came here and you thought that there was no hope for your life.
God said differently. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then now is the time. I want you to slip out of your seat and come put your hands in the hands of the preacher or the deacon. But say that I'm giving and putting my heart in the hand in the heart of God.
Yes.
Because God told me that there's more for my life than what it is. And he told me at my lowest point, we want you to give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Step out of your seat. All heads are bowed, saints are praying. Step out of your seat right now. And get your life right with God. You may be here today. And you haven't been baptized. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you've never been baptized. It's the first step of obedience, and we want you to come right now in Jesus' name. You may be here, and you need a church home. Guess what? There's no better place in Ardmore than to be a member of my family. To be a member of Here on This Hill, I want you to come right now. Whatever your decision is right now, you may say, I need some prayer. Preacher, pray for me. Deacon, pray for me. I need some prayer. I'm going through too much. I heard what the word says, and I want God to move in my life. Pray for me.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms. And his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family. Because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.